did have some verses to memorize, Psalm 139.
Yeah.
And we have those. And who is here that needs a book? Raise your hand. You didn't bring your book today, forgot your book, whatever the case may be. Amen. All right, Ms. Scott. Anybody else need a book? Brother Holmes, so we got Faith, you got one. You showed mommy. Okay. And Brother Sister Scott, I know. Miss Isis back there. Beth, oh, okay. All right, Psalm 139. We're on lesson 8. And what page is that on in you guys' book? 65? 65. All right, so let's turn over to your page 65, and then let's turn over to Psalm 139, which was our memory verse, just talking about the presence of God being with us. 69, okay, so 69. All right, let me grab my book here. We are going to endeavor to finish this chapter today, Lord willing. Amen. I talk fast. Y'all listen fast. We'll get done at the same time. All right. So our verse was Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. So we'll say the reference, and we'll read that, and then we will say the reference at the conclusion. Amen. All right. Everybody there. Everybody awake. Amen. Okay. All right. Who didn't have coffee this morning? No Starbucks. Amen. All right. I didn't have Starbucks, but I had budget brand. So just the same. All right. So Psalm 139, let's say verses 7 and 8 together. Here we go. Psalm 139, 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Psalm 139, 7 and 8. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we, Lord, uncover how to please God. I pray that we might be more knowledgeable about that fact and that subject. And Lord, just be able to please you in what we think and what we say. And what we do, Lord, thank you so much for loving us. And Lord, I pray that you would guide, direct, and lead in our Sunday school hour this morning. Thank you for bringing our brother Fred and Ms. Paula and family back. Lord, now help us to uncover truths from your word that can help us to be more Christ-like in what we think, say, and do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are in lesson number 8, and we're at Roman numeral 3. Does anybody need any of the Roman numerals repeated to them? Any of the Roman numerals repeated? Okay, Ms. Bev, okay. Which one? 2 A and B. Okay, so 2, Roman numeral 2, is a daily forecast. A daily forecast. We talked about it's a daily activity. A daily activity. Faith is a daily activity. A daily forecast. And then A, every day there must be a step of faith. Every day there must be a step of faith. We talked about the ordinary task that God gives us every day to do that require faith. Every day there must be a step of faith. And then B, every day there must be many opportunities. Many opportunities. And we saw that normally in our ordinary tasks, there are many opportunities that God uses. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get irritated. Sometimes we need patience, whatever the case may be. But every day there must be many opportunities, and we exhibit our faith. C then was every day there must be an attribute needed. An attribute needed. There has to be something that we need from God. And by the way, we need much from him. But three things that we saw was wisdom, we need his power, and we need his presence. His presence. We need to make sure we're aware of those three. His wisdom that we need to handle any responsibilities, his power to do any and everything, and then his presence must be recognized continually. Then D, every day there must be a reward to gain. There must be something that we're seeking after. a reward to gain. If God says, if you do this, I'll give you that. We're looking for that. Every day there must be a reward to gain. Anyone else need any other Roman numerals other than two? Okay, we're going into three today. All right, so we're talking about how to please God, and we made the correlation that to please someone, to know how to please someone, we must know what pleases that person. Today we're going to finish up with the final Roman numeral three, and we're going to go backwards on this one. At the end, we're going to talk about how to please God or what certain things please God, but we're going to talk about those first and then go back to Roman numeral three and then do some application. So if we're going to please God, I want us to look at several things that the Bible says this pleases God. Of course, we know in Hebrews 11, let's go back there, what that says. It says, without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please him. So go back to Hebrews chapter 11 for the first one. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. And my pages are stuck together. Amen. So let me unstick them. All right, there we go. And notice that, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to what? Please him. So we know having faith pleases God. So trusting God and what God says, we know that pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that cometh to God must believe that he what? He is, and he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we know that if we're going to please God, we have got to have faith. Amen. All right. So everybody's got that one down, right? So pleasing God, number one, we've got to have that faith. Amen. Come over to another one here. Come over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. So we know we've got to have faith. Then Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. And whoever gets there, let me know. Raise your hand. I'm going to have you read that one. Colossians 1:10. Who is there? Miss Bevy, could you read Colossians 1:10? Amen. So according to this verse, how can we please God, or what pleases God? Yes, seeking him, but according to that verse, what do we have to do to please God? Being fruitful, walking the way God would have us to walk, okay? Read that verse again, Ms. Bev. Amen. So according to what Colossians say, then we have to walk in a way that's going to be pleasing to God. What might that involve other than having faith? If we're going to walk pleasing to God, what might that involve? Yeah. Obedience to him. What else? We're going to please God. What kind of walk might that be? Of course, we know it's a walk of faith. Yeah. Know it's a walk of obedience. What else? Yes. Thankfulness, amen, amen. Being thankful, giving thanks unto the Father, amen. What else? Are we going to be pleasing? Because it says, may walk worthy of the Lord. Or that means being walking like a Christian should walk, amen. Walking as Christ would have us to walk, yes. Prayerfully, amen. We need prayer all the time. So if I'm walking, I should walk pleasing. I should walk thankfully. I should walk obediently. I should walk prayerfully. Amen. Because he's saying walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's going to please him. Being fruitful in every good work. So then producing things that are beneficial for the kingdom of God's sake. Amen. And all the things we just listed are beneficial for the kingdom of God's sake. And notice the last part. And increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Now, why is that important for me to please God? Knowledge of God. Yes, come into a close relationship. That is correct. But why else is that important in pleasing God? We might know him. And if I know him, what will I know? What pleases him? How does a child know what pleases a parent? By knowing what that parent is pleased by. Amen. We talked a little bit about that last night with our children, how to please mom and dad. And it was interesting to see their perspective on things. They said, well, to please dad, we have to do this. But mom doesn't require that. Mom requires this. It's interesting. So, and the way they began to describe it, you know, kind of had us laughing about what they were saying. But they were saying, okay, to please dad, you got to make sure you do this, 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 this. But mom doesn't require that. Mom requires this, this, this. How do they know that? They know us, amen? They know, well, to please dad, we got to pick up our stuff. You know, we got to straighten things up. We got to put stuff back where they belong. We sit on the ground, we got to pick it up. Amen. And so when you look at this, he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. And so those verses right after that is going to help us to please God a little better. Let's go to another one. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. So we know that if we're going to please him, we're going to have to walk worthy and then producing some fruit. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Who is there? Got that for me. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Brother Duffy, read that. Amen. So walk and please God. He said, as ye have received of us. So in other words, you already received how you ought to walk. Now he says, as you're walking, as you receive the knowledge of what to do in your walk, now do it. And if you do that, what you're going to do? You're going to please God. And he says, I want you to abound more and more, or pretty much become profitable more and more in there. Add on to that. Okay. So he says, you've already received it. So now I need you to do this. Amen. Now notice we said, we beseech you that and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received how you ought to walk and please God, you would do so more and more. So it's a reiteration basically of Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 10. So we can please the Lord by living a holy life and walking the right way. Come over to another one. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. So again, these are all the ways that we can please God. And then we're going to get back to now how we're going to do that. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Who's there can read that for me? 2 Timothy 2, 4. Tony? Amen. So according to Timothy, how are we going to please God? Now, the picture here is of a soldier, trying to fight a war, and a soldier trying to lead a normal civilian life. Can that happen? What does the soldier have to be devoted to? Soldier life, amen. Army life, Air Force life, whatever it is, amen. Why? I've got to protect my nation. And so he says down here in verse number 4, verse number 3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness or go through the hardships. By the way, does military life bring hardships sometimes?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you've got to be deployed by yourself out there in the fields. You've got to be in a foxhole. You've got to be somewhere all by yourself. You're subject to enemy fire, snipers, bombs, landmines, and things of that nature. You're subject not to get any food for a long time. You got to live off of what they call MRIs. MREs. In the hospital too long, amen. MREs. Who knows what an MRE is? Your brother Holmes? He's down there with the Army in Sierra Vista, amen. Meals ready to eat. So they'll give you a little package. And in this package, it's a meal ready to eat. And you rip it open, you put some water in it and stir it up, and it becomes pudding. You put some water in this one, it becomes something else. This one is like a little, what you call it, a little dry cracker bar. That's supposed to be like a granola bar. You come over here and you put some water in this. This becomes a little soupy type of stuff. There's supposed to be some meat in there. Amen. How many of y'all ever had those cup of noodles? Amen. You put the hot water in there. What happens? The noodles kind of fluff up. The beef kind of gets a little chewy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what an MRI is. It's freeze-dried stuff that you add water to, and it's ready to eat.
Yes, sir.
And that ain't like mama's cooking. That's not like home cooking.
No, it's not, Pastor. No, it is not.
Give you a little pinch of salt with it, a little pinch of pepper.
Salt.
Now, if you don't have anything else to eat, that's the best thing that ever came along. Amen. So there's some hardships involved with this. And so he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, you're not a soldier now of the community, but you're a soldier of Christ. And it comes with some hardships. And he says, now, no man that warreth or is involved in his warfare entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He says, now, if you're going to war for Christ, that means you're not going to be so deeply entrenched in what the world has to offer you. It's party life and it's carousing life and it's corralling life. You're not going to be so deeply entrenched in what the world has to offer you, because God has you on a higher plane spiritually to get involved in something spiritual. And you can't do that while you're entangled with that. And what's the whole goal? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you're saved here today, you're a soldier of Christ. And you say, preacher, but I'm not fighting a good battle. Now, that's to be determined.
Yes, sir.
How you fight will determine directly with how deeply entrenched in the world you are.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Give you the illustration. If the enemy is coming this way, I've got to be vigilant to protect myself against the enemy. However, if I'm over here watching TV and playing video games, do I see the enemy?
No, you can't not, Pastor.
What's the enemy going to do? They're going to creep up behind me and get me in the back.
Yeah, they will. Yes,
and can I do one of these numbers? Video game and watch for the enemy. No, because the minute you turn your head this way, he's going to shoot a sniper bullet and pop you.
Yes, sir. They will, Pastor.
So I've got to be totally devoted to my soldier activity and leave the video games alone and leave the other things alone that are going to get my attention. And otherwise I'll be entangled in these affairs of this life. So the second way to please God is not just holy living or holy walking, but then being devoted as a soldier or as a war person, a war person. We've already talked about pleasing him is living by faith. But then here's another one. Go over to Philippians 4:18. Brother Duffy's going to do some of this today. Philippians 4:18. Philippians 4:18. Paul is writing to the Philippian church and is really thanking them for what they did. Philippians 4:18. Who's got that? I can read 4:18. Ms. Beth? Amen. So in this particular instance, then a generous giving, whether it's to missionary work or whether it's to the church of God or just giving in general, is something that's pleasing to God. When we share what we have, even sometimes it's going to be a sacrifice. Amen. And so that is always a blessing that God is well pleased with when we share. Paul speaking here from a missionary standpoint said, look, I received some things and man, what a blessing it was. And by the way, he said, that's well pleasing to God. So when we look up here and we see our missions goal of $45,000 and we see missions to date is $14,000, that means some people have been well pleasing in their giving to our missions. Amen. And so praise God for that. Whether it's small amount or whether it's a large amount, God is well pleased with what we give when we give out of that which we have. Amen. So when you look at that, he says, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, the Philippian church, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, what? Acceptable. And what is it? Well, pleasing to God. Amen. So giving generously is something that pleases God. Come over to Colossians chapter number 3. And this is one that we have done. And this is one that we expect. Colossians 3 and verse number 20. Who can read that one? Colossians 3:20. Yes, Mr. Scott. Amen. This is well pleasing. Children, obey your parents in how many things? Some things? All things. The things I want? All things. Amen. Some things when they're kind and when they ask me correctly? No. All things. Amen. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. So if I want to please God, I can obey my parents. Amen. And that is something, parents, that you have to put within the child. That's not something that's in the child automatically. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What is the first words out of a child's mouth when you ask him to do something? No.
No
comes natural. Why? Because they are spawned from Adam, their father, and they've got a sin nature. Amen. So you've got to teach them obedience.
Yes, sir.
You've got to teach that to them. Why? It was taught to you. Amen. So children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and it's got to be taught to the child that obedience is a good thing. Amen. Because if you don't teach the child that obedience is a good thing, they will become a bad thing. Amen. And you don't want that to happen with your children at all. Amen. By the way, if you don't correct them, the government will. Why do you think we got a judicial system or a jail system out there? That's for children that don't obey their parents. Amen. And the law will punish your children if you don't do the job yourself. It's just a fact of the matter. Now, you say, well, that's not fair. Well, somebody's got to train them. The one thing that we don't want is a society of anarchy and lawlessness. And that's what laws are meant to do, to govern the lawless. Amen. Of those that want to behave unruly. Amen. And so children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing. So we see that's another way we can please God. Amen. Another one is over in 1 Corinthians 12, 18. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. 12, 18. Let's go on over there. 12, 18. Now, we're talking about spiritual gifts here. And when a person gets saved, they have at least one spiritual gift. And as God saves people, he puts them in the church. And he puts them in a church so they can use their spiritual gift. And notice how it reads in verse number 18. But now have God set the members, those are the members of Christ, the Christians, every one of them in the body or in the church as it has what? Pleased him. So God places people in the church for his pleasure that they can do what he wants them to do with the spiritual gift he gave them. And so that's God's pleasure, and we have to accept and use our spiritual gifts. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm a firm believer that in the church, God has given us every gift that we need. It's just that people aren't using the gift that they've been given. And so when you aren't using the gift that you've been given, somebody else who doesn't have the gift has to assume that responsibility. So now we have a non-gifted person doing what a gifted person should be doing. Because he said, everyone in the body as it hath pleased him. And so he gives the church what they need. Now, will we have all gifts at all times? No. But as the church needs a gift, God's going to make sure that gift is available in a member somewhere. Okay. The member just has to surrender the gift, and the member has to recognize what gift they really have. Amen. By the way, how will you know what gift you have? Let's change the question a little bit. How will you know if you're good at bowling?
Go bowling.
How will you know if you're good at baseball?
Go play baseball.
How will you know if you're good at basketball?
Go play basketball.
How will you know what your spiritual gift is? Minister. And sooner or later, as you minister in different things, you'll find that one thing you like. Woo.
I like it.
I like this.
I like that, Pastor.
Woo. I got to come back to that. And no matter what you do, you come back to, woo, I like that. Woo, this is productive. Woo, this, woo. Man, God blesses me when I do this. There are certain things that you just have to get out there and do it. Amen. Ms. Dawson. Amen. Amen. And Ms. Dawson brings up a good point because she said that sometimes it takes others to bring out that spirit too. You may not know that you have a gift. Somebody may say, I need you to do this. And as you volunteer for that, you might find out that that's the best thing since sliced bread.
Amen.
My pastor came to us early. We had been saved about 6 months and said, we need you guys to teach the teenagers.
Amen.
And we thought, we only been saved 6 months. We don't know anything. And he evidently he saw something in us because we taught teenagers from that point for the next 9 years. Why? That was a gift that God had given us that he saw in us. Now, I asked him before, I said, why'd you pick us? He said, because I didn't have anybody else. That's what he told me, amen. So, but it was providential of God to do it that way, amen. So sometimes you may get thrust into a position that you think, man, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not the one for this. And God may be putting you in that position for the very fact that he wants you to do that. And that's what your gift is. And you'll never know if you don't try it, amen. By the way, how many of y'all are good at cricket? You know the thing that you got the little bat thing? You good at cricket? Amen. Most of us don't know if we're good at it or not because we never played it. I went down to St. Vincent, the Grenadines, man, and that was what they played. Cricket was on TV, just like soccer and basketball here. Man, they had that cricket thing, and I'm looking at that like, wow, what is the purpose? You run back and forth between these two poles. I'm like, what is the purpose? Basketball, I can see. And for them, basketball, you run up and down and put a ball through the hoop. What is the purpose? And so you've got to understand the game before you can do that. For the Christian, you've got to understand what your gift is, but you've got to be able to identify what your gift is. But when you use it, it's pleasing to God, and he has put everybody in the church as it has pleased him. Amen. So spiritual gifts, amen. And so these are just a few things that we know that please God. Our spiritual gifts please God. Obeying parents pleases God. Giving generously pleases God. Being a devoted soldier pleases God. Living by faith pleases God. Walking worthy for the Lord pleases him. So those are things that we know please God. Okay, so let's go to your book now. Now that you know what pleases God on several levels here, let's go to the book and fill this book out here. All right, so a diligent focus is going to be Roman numeral 3. A diligent focus. A diligent focus. What are some things that require a diligent focus? What are some things that require diligent focus? If you don't focus on this, it can't happen. What are some things? Of course, we know driving is one. If you don't focus on driving, what's going to happen? We were in a traffic backup for about an hour yesterday. Because somebody didn't have diligent focus and caused a car accident. Yes, Ms. Dawson? You do have to focus on keeping the Lord diligently in every situation of life. But what else requires focus? We know driving does. What physical things that we do require focus? How about tracing something or cutting out something? Isis, you're going to say something? Homework requires diligent focus. Cooking requires diligent focus. If you don't focus on cleaning, what are you liable to do? Burn something.
Yes, sir.
Boil over your pot. Burn your cookies. Amen. Whatever the case may be, Ms. Dawson. Reading requires diligent focus. You can't call yourself reading and then you're watching TV and doing this and doing that. You will never get anywhere. Amen. So driving requires focus. Tracing requires it. Cutting out. Amen. By the way, a golfing required. Why do you think it's always quiet on a golf course? It requires focus.
Yes, it is.
Those guys are out there.
You don't want to talk.
Hachoo! And they look out there like, what in the world? Who sneezed?
Who made that?
Or when you're about to bowl, and right when you get ready to let the ball go, somebody said, hey, man!
Oh, man! That would drive me crazy.
Get you upset. Joshua did that to me. He knew I was going to beat him. As soon as I was going up there, hey, Dad! Did you really want something or just trying to throw me off? Trying to throw me off. Amen. So when you look at this, several physical things. By the way, how many of y'all ever gone shooting on a shooting range? That requires focus, doesn't it? Or do some bow and arrow shooting. It requires focus. The least little movement that you have, I mean, you're trying to hit a target way down there. Or you're shooting a gun. We went with the men as a group, and man, I was out there. My targets were all over the place, except for in the place. What happened? Focus. Amen. So a diligent focus, it seems so simple to please God by focus, but we have to have focus. Amen. By the way, what are our three enemies that we have that detract from our focus? World, the flesh, and the devil.
And the devil.
What does our flesh want to do?
Want to do what?
Anything but what God wants us to do. What does the world want us to do? Anything but what God wants you to do. What does the devil want you to do? Anything but what God wants you to do. And he'll even tell you to go to church. Just don't listen and don't apply. He'll go to church and go as far as to tell you, listen real good. Just don't do any of it. That preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a loony. I mean, that's what the devil will tell you. That applies to Joe over here or Bob over there or Sally over there or Sue over there, but it doesn't apply to you. That's what the devil will tell you. So you sit in church and, well, Sally sure needed that. Sue sure needed that. Well, Bob sure needed that. Well, Joe sure needed that, but I don't need it. A diligent focus is required to live a life of faith. It requires discipline. So for a diligent focus, a decision to live by faith must be made. A decision to live by faith must be made. A decision to live by faith must be made. By the way, the life of faith is completely opposite from the life of feeling and the life of fact. The life of faith says, I'm going to do it. The life of feeling says what? I don't feel like doing it. The life of faith says, I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. The life of faith says, I'm going to do it. The life of fact may say, it's not doable. It's not possible. And so I've got to have a life of faith above a life of feeling and above a life of fact, because facts may not be what God is dealing with at that particular time. By the way, was it a fact that we got money from Lasco Foundation, $495,000? Yeah, it's a fact.
Yes, sir.
Was it a fact that they were giving money? Yes, it was a fact. But was it a fact that they were going to give that money to us? You know what that was? That was faith.
Yeah.
That was faith. And so we had to step out on the faith,
yes, sir,
and not the fact. Were they giving money to people? Yes.
Yes.
But we didn't know they were going to give the money to us. It became a fact after we stepped out by faith. And so living a decision to live by faith must be made, and it is not the same as feeling, and it is not the same as fact. By the way, how many of y'all feel saved every day? Many don't.
Amen, Pastor.
Especially if you're having a bad day. How many of y'all feel like loving every day? I feel like loving my wife every day. I feel like loving my husband every day. I feel like loving my children every day. No, sometimes you feel like leaving them sometimes. Amen. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we know that's not God's plan or God's way. So we don't always feel like we're saved. We don't always feel like loving. How many of y'all feel like forgiving every time? Just to have somebody do the same thing again. We don't always like to forgive. And sometimes we don't feel like forgiving. I don't feel like it.
True that, Pastor. That's right, Pastor. We don't.
And who normally does that? Kids.
Yeah.
Will you forgive me? No, I don't feel like it today. Talk to the hand.
There you go.
Talk to the head, whatever. Brother Duffy's going to challenge us in our giving. How many feel like tithing all the time? We don't always feel like tithing, especially when the bills go like this.
Amen,
and the finances go like this. I don't feel like tithing right now. Nor do I feel like I can tithe right now. But you know what faith says? Faith says tithe anyway. And watch God work. Faith said, go and sign the documents and trust me that I'll give you the money for the building. And guess what? We signed the documents for the building, and God stepped in on our faith and gave us the money for the building.
Amen.
So what came first? Faith came and we stepped out and we signed, and then the fact came, they did give us the money. Amen and praise God. So a decision to live by faith must be made. And so notice the verse that they give you down there. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do we always feel like witnessing?
No.
If the truth be known, sometimes, David, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm just tired Saturday mornings. I don't feel like getting up to go soul winning.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Holmes, if the truth be known, I don't feel like knocking on the door just to have somebody lick their tongue out at me and go, hmm. I didn't wake up for that. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
I didn't wake up for that. And so I've got to go out on faith. And not feeling. Amen. By the way, did anybody ever lick their tongue out of me? No. Praise God. But, and by the way, feeling will give you every excuse why you shouldn't go soul winning. Feeling will give you every excuse why you shouldn't talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Feeling will give you every excuse. Well, somebody else probably do. Well, they look saved. Oh, a saved person has a certain look now? Amen. Yeah. So, now, granted, certain Christians should look certain ways. Amen. But that doesn't guarantee they're saved. Amen. They should look clean and well-kept and these other things. But that's not always a guarantee. You read the Bible. Some of the best people I know, not some of the best, but some of the people I know, like Lot, I don't think he looked like a Christian. Maybe he did. Judas Iscariot looked like a Christian. And look what happened to him.
Yes, sir.
But the flesh will give us every excuse. The feeling will give us every excuse why we shouldn't do what God would have us to do. Every excuse, amen. So we have to make sure a decision to live by faith is made and then stick to it, amen. Stick to it. B, a desire to please him must be kept. A desire to please him must be kept. After we make the decision to live by faith, rather than by feeling or logic, our human flesh will fight our commitment. And so a desire to please him must be kept. By the way, for a diligent focus, a desire to please him must be kept. What keeps us going to please our spouses other than commitment?
Love for Christ.
Love for Christ. Amen. Ms. Dawson? Make him happy.
Amen.
What else? Yes. Being faithful to the Lord. What else? Makes us continue to please our spouse, our children, our teacher, our boss, even though we may not want to.
Hey.
Don't want to lose them. Amen. Fred? We're one. So there has to be a desire there. I've got to have a reason to want to do this. We have to have a reason to want to please God. And what more than he saved us? He saved us. He forgave me of all my sins. I was going to hell. And he stepped in and saved me. I have to have a desire.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
To please my children, to please my spouse, to please my boss, to please my teacher. I've got to have a desire. I've got to want to do this. God's given us a free spirit and a free will.
Amen, Pastor.
I don't have to do it. But I should have a desire to want to do it. I should have a desire. And by the way, a commitment will override sometimes when the desire is not there. I'm committed to doing this. And if I just do this, I'm sure that desire will come back. And it will. It will. So when you look at this, for a diligent focus, a desire to please him must be made. We cannot allow circumstances to weaken our faith in what God would have us to do. Amen. By the way, are we going to have trials?
Yes.
Yes. We are going to have trials. But our faith should take us beyond the trials. Notice what it says down there, James 1:8. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Desire makes us continue to want to please God. And so a desire to please him must be kept. I can't be double-minded. And with this desire, a commitment or a vow, I always think about that. You know, when I think about my wife and I think back to the time I met her and I said, I want to be with you forever. We took our vows and we made a commitment, and I have held on to that commitment. I've held on to that vow, held on to that. Have I had hard times and hardships? Yes.
Yes, yes.
But I know that I've made a commitment and a vow, and I desire to keep it as well as her. Amen. And because of my desire and my commitment and my vow to keep her, I'm going to do what it takes to stay with her.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all heard my testimony. I said, if she leave me, I'm going with her. Amen.
Amen.
So you can't get away from me. We said till death do we part. That's what I meant. Amen. So C, for a diligent focus, a determination to hold on must be settled. A determination to hold on must be settled. You've got to hunker down and say that this is it. I don't care what trials, what tests, what troubles come. I'm going to hold on. By the way, trials and tests and troubles will try to shake your hold on your commitment to please God.
Amen.
What was the devil's claim to fame against Job? If you take away everything he has, he'll stop serving you. God took, allowed him to take away everything he had. Guess what Job did? Still serving. He said, skin for skin. He said, but if you touch his body, he'll curse you. He'll stop. Job messed up his whole body. And guess what Job continued to do? Serve God.
Amen.
Serve God. He continued. A determination to hold on must be settled. We've got to settle it. Amen. By the way, they say make a list of things that we normally put our faith in. In that list is a job, a house, a car, retirement plan, a savings account. What other things we put our trust in? Job, money, sometimes children, spouse, government. Yeah, government. Amen. Schedules. We put our faith in these things. Can all of those things be taken away? Every last one of them can be taken away, including our health. What are we left with? We are left with one thing. We're left with God. If everything is taken away, and it can all go. I, like Job, I can lose my children, I can lose my wife, I can lose my house, I can lose my job, I can lose everything that I've got, my car, every worldly possession I have, and then I can still lose my health and be just a bundle of flesh. And guess what I have left? I still have my God. So when it comes down to it, a determination to hold on must be settled, because at the end of the day, by faith, all I have is God, and God is enough. He's enough. He's enough. I don't need everything else. Now, it's not bad to have those things. But at the end of the day, if it's all taken away from me, I still have my God. I still have him. So why not put him first and put the other things underneath? Amen. What we often do is put everything else on top and God underneath. And God goes first to the wayside while I make my commitments to all these other things. And then when those things fail me one by one, I got to go back to God, who has never left me, nor forsaken me. And what I ought to do is stay there. How do I please God? Stay with the stuff. Hold on. Hold on. If we put our faith in everything else, it can leave us. It can leave us. It can leave us. Amen. We've given you this verse before. I'm going to give it to you again. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Because at a bad day, you may feel like everything is all lost. But guess what? You've got to be like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Amen.
Everything else can go. But guess what? God is not going anywhere. He said, has promised me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. That's going to be our memory verse for this week. Job 13:15. Job had everything taken away from him, and he still held on, and he settled it a long time ago. So Roman numeral 3, a diligent focus must be made. There are certain things that require a diligent focus in life. And for a diligent focus, a decision to live by faith must be made. We've got to live by faith, not by how we feel and not by the facts that we see, but by faith of what God said. B, a desire to please him must be kept. For a diligent focus, a desire to please him must be kept. A desire to please is going to keep us going, whether it's for our boss, our teacher, our spouse, our children. A desire is going to keep us going. A desire to please him must be kept. And then for a diligent focus, C, a determination to hold on must be settled. Trials, tests, troubles are going to come. I've got to have it settled in my mind that I will serve God, because when all these things are taken away, what I have is God.
Amen.
And God alone. And I've got to trust God and God alone. How to please God? Trust him. Amen. Roman numeral 1:3 was a diligent focus. Roman numeral 2 was a daily forecast, daily activities God gives you. And then Roman numeral 1 was a description of faith, what it is. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I do trust that you have those things down that you know please God. We listed several. There are a whole lot more, but there's several that we listed. How to please God. What is it going to take? Diligent focus.
Amen.
I've got to focus on pleasing God. Amen. The same way you focus on pleasing a child, same way you focus on pleasing a spouse, the same way you focus on pleasing a boss or a teacher, the same way you've got to focus on pleasing God. Know what God requires and then do it the same way you would a spouse, a boss, a child, or a teacher. know what God wants, and then go do it. It's just that simple. You say, preacher, I don't feel like it. You don't have to feel like it.
Amen.
It's not about a feeling. It's about faith.
Amen.
It's about faith. Why? He that cometh to God must believe that he what? Is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. All right. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's our verse. Amen. You do your dead level best to trust God this week. Walk by faith. Do what pleases him this week and see if God doesn't increase your faith. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you that we have a snippet of how to please you. And I pray that, Lord, with this snippet of how to please you, we might go and do that which is pleasing in your sight. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, help us to recognize the world, the flesh, and the devil will be against us. Now help us to know that, Lord, that as we go out, we may not feel like it, and the facts may be against it. But Lord, we're serving you by faith, not by our feelings or not by facts, but by the truth of the word of God. So Lord, help us to get that diligent focus down this week and not be double-minded, unstable in all our ways. Lord, single-minded with the single mind of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now the refreshments next door, Lord, and I thank you for those that bought them and prepared them. And Lord, help us to enjoy them and take us into our next session so that we can see more truths from the word of God as we find out how to please God. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. Don't forget, Brother Neil has got Sunday school next week. It'll be a blessing. And then the week after that is awards. Let me know, Pastor White's going to be waiting just in case.
Okay.
So if you're not, he is going to step in for you.
I'll be ready.
Okay. Sure?
Yeah. Like you said, it's like I knew what he was going to talk about after. Behold, yeah. It won't be much about it. Dad, just other stuff about knowing God and not letting anything get in the way. You're set on knowing God. There's a lot of people who get in the way. So, oh,
amen. Okay. Amen. I say, let me know. Keep
okay.
Thanks, brother. Good to have you back. We got it now. For some reason, you put it on mute, it doesn't go off of mute. Thank you.
Amen.